Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, it's half term here in the UK, which has devastated our panel. Doc didn't know that it was going to be a show, I don't think. So he was tweeting out at 1 o'clock this afternoon in the UK time. So I'm figuring by 3 hours later, he's not going to be up and he's not going to be doing on the show. Greeny is flying back home for the weekend from Switzerland. So he's out. And James is about to be a grandfather. So he's passing up on the opportunity because he thinks his daughter-in-law might drop any minute. And I've got to say, he sent me a picture the other day, and she looks like she might be dropping any minute. So best of luck to James, and especially his daughter-in-law, who's got all the hard work to do.
Yeah.
So we're pared down, Map Show. There's going to be Map Show, even not Map Show. Patrice is joining us from... now, mate, you've pulled a blinder, mate. You've moved your entire company's meeting so that you can do this show.
Yes, well, there was one meeting on Friday morning, which was our big sprint demo. I had to move that, or we had to move that anyway. It was getting
on, mate. No, you need to big it up, mate. Let me edit it. Yeah. So it's like the whole of your organization changed its schedule to meet the Mac Show.
Yes,
on Patrice's wishes. That's how important he is.
Yes, exactly. That was
I'm only coming to Arizona if you move the meeting on Friday mornings.
Yeah, it definitely had something to do with it. I was like, if I can move it, I would prefer that. I just found a good reason for anybody else. It's Friday late in Romania and in Europe, so let's not have people stay around for too long.
Friday meetings after 3 o'clock are a death knell, mate. As a manager, if you pick a meeting after 3 o'clock, there are nails in your coffin before you've even started. Yes.
I know, because I was the one that originally scheduled it for Friday. I mean, it wasn't my first choice, but I was the one who sent out the invite.
How are you enjoying life in the Arizona oven?
Actually, I'm really enjoying it here. I mean, the heat so far hasn't been too bad. It's getting there, but
it's been mild lately, but yes. Yeah, wait till mid, ask him in July or August how he feels.
Yeah, we'll have one 111 or 112 on Sunday, so that will be fun.
Oh, you guys are getting hot already.
So that's 112 Fahrenheit, so you're talking that's 43 degrees centigrade.
Yes, 43, 44.
People die in those kind of,
and I'm traveling on Sunday, so that's the other part. It's like I have to go.
What?
Sunday. Yeah, I'm traveling to San Jose on Sunday. So,
of course, I forgot those WD.
World Developers Conference. Everybody is converging.
Yes,
bending upon.
We got to stop using that joke because it's shit. And Adam's joining us. How you doing, buddy? Egg sandwich and all. Good. Don't stop eating that egg sandwich, mate. Lovingly made by your wife.
Yeah, no, it's delicious. I get well taken care of here. I like it. It's a good working environment.
She's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as she hasn't put anything in there because she wants, you know, like...
With me? Yeah, I wouldn't blame her.
No. What have you been up to, pal? I haven't seen you for a couple of weeks.
Just work, programming, podcasting, work, clean the garage last weekend, finally.
Nice. Oh, ripping, man. I'm glad we put that in the podcast. Yeah.
Hey, it's life, right?
Had a yard sale, cleaned the garage. Jeez, wow. Life on the edge, man.
It's not exciting.
It's not
the life of a podcaster.
Well, mine has been exciting because I've had the entire week with my son.
Well, you got some major nomination or award recently, right?
Yeah.
You were honored.
So Anders and I, Andy in the chat room, he's the backroom element and I'm the hardware element. And we've come up with a camera system.
Right.
That is really kind of cool. And we've been nominated for Innovation of the Year on the National Rail Awards. So
that's amazing, man.
Yeah, so, no.
Congratulations. So
we're down to the shortlist, and I've got to go to a presentation on the 12th of June in London. I've got I've got 20 minutes to explain why it's frigging great to the judging panel. And then in September the 13th, we find out whether we've won or not. So we're going for a big old dinner at the Grosvenor House Hotel in London, which is 275 quid a ticket. It's not cheap, but we're going anyway, so it should be cool.
Well, no, congratulations to you both. I know you've been working hard on that thing, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, just even being shortlisted is a massive, and, you know, we can say we've been shortlisted as much as we like, so.
Yeah.
It's cool. So I need to start you know, using the publicity of that before it's before we realise we haven't won.
Yeah.
But if we do win, I'm going to be shit-faced.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But I had the week with my son, which has been brilliant. It's been men behaving badly all week.
So, nice.
We did Deadpool 2. We went and did a bit of shooting. He wanted to go airsofting, so we tried airsofting. That was brilliant. We had a great time. Even as a knackered old man, I did really, really well. I couldn't play the last game. I was just too tired. But the rest of the games, I ran around like a 13-year-old for a whole Sunday, pretty much. And my knees paid for it on Monday, that's for sure. Scrabbling up and down hillsides and stuff, trying to hide behind bushes and that kind of stuff.
That's the problem when you get older, right? It's fine. You can do this stuff, but you pay for it the next day or the next week. Basically,
I was a little short, I have to say. I was a little way behind. But I didn't do so bad. He sat down at lunchtime, and he was knackered at lunchtime. And I had to go and get the food for the two of us. So I felt quite good at that. I was like, yeah, okay. But I hadn't run around in the previous battle. I'd found a little sniping spot, and I was picking people off. It was great. But airsofting's absolutely brilliant. Then we saw Deadpool 2 on Tuesday. Then Ellis got me drunk on Tuesday night. I said, Ellis, can you get me that? Oh, I was typing his homework because he types like shit. So he was reading it out and I was just touch typing it into the computer. I said, oh, right, well, I'll save this one. Go and get us a whiskey, mate. So he brought back this whiskey. I never even looked at it and I just drank it. I said, okay, I'll, we did a couple more. And I said, right, get us another whiskey. He brought me four whiskeys. And I said, there we go. We're done, mate. We're finished. I felt absolutely fine. And we went into the kitchen. I drank 3/4 of a bottle of whiskey. Wow. It's been just pouring like wacky great things. I hadn't even looked at it. And then on Wednesday morning, he said, Dad, can you take me on my paper round in the car? I'm like, you're kidding, sunshine. I'm not getting anywhere near a car today. We've had a fun week. Absolutely fun week. But it's been a good dad and son bonding session. We topped it off last night with a home-cooked dinner.
Nice.
It's good. The week in Apple. We've got to talk about Hot San Jose because as of Monday, we're not going to be doing a live show, I don't think, because I'm a Hoyer up in Wrexham during the afternoon. And I'm pretty sure that Mark and I will be watching it. But whether we can kind of get a hangout going in the hotel lobby or something like that using their Wi-Fi and be able to do a show, I don't know. So I'm hoping we can, but we possibly won't. Because we'll struggle to watch the thing and also stream out maybe, but we've got to talk about San Jose. Predictions for San Jose are rife all over the place, and some of them are just complete and utter bollocks. But
yeah, and no leaks so far. I mean, that's the surprising part. There's literally, I mean, I can't remember well anything.
Yeah, Grub was well connected, so you'd have expected Grub to come out with a couple of things by now.
Yeah. The only thing that I know that Gruber mentioned, but that's kind of public knowledge because I think they mentioned that last year, is that the Mac App Store may get also the editorial section. But that was even announced officially by Apple Personal last year. So it's like,
that's hardly not even a secret, is it?
What's the, there's also that project, and now I can't remember the name of it. I should have looked it up for the show, that Apple's been working on to allow developers to basically port their iOS apps more easily to the Mac App Store.
The artist formerly known as Marzipan. According to Gruber, it's not called Marzipan anymore.
That's right. That's right. So I mean, I fully expect to hear quite a bit more about that, about that project being a developer conference. So letting developers know how that system works and how they can take their apps. It was basically mostly on the UI side, right? It's all about the user interface kits that they have and merging those into a single thing, because right now you have to do it separately, basically, right?
What I've heard, and I think what Gruber said, what he has heard, is that it's not merging those interface kits. It's basically putting a layer on top of it so that you can basically like a markup language that you can write and then
right, it
compiles into whatever the native thing is. So it's also doesn't it that also means that it doesn't help you convert an iOS app that you already have to a Mac app. It's only if you create something from scratch.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll see.
I don't believe you there for a second.
Well, no. I'm trying to process how that works, because I thought part of the point was they want to get more developers developing for the Mac App Store because they have so many apps on iOS and they see this as a vehicle. So I thought one of the concepts was, I have a code base, I have an app that works on iOS. I don't want to do a ton of work to get it over on the Mac, but obviously the controls with mouse and trackpad need to be a little bit different. So
yeah,
these are tools to help you, I guess, manage that, but you're not having to rewrite you're still not having to rewrite the app from scratch, right?
Only the UI part anyway.
Trackpad inhibiting the uptake of games to Mac because they have to allow for trackpad, whereas they don't with other, I suppose it's no different from laptops, is it? I suppose
for games, yeah, I don't know if it's as much as games as it is even things like little productivity apps and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I think Apple's more interested in that side of things. Games seems to be pretty well represented on both platforms.
And I mean, games are usually, I mean, they're built with either Metal or one of the higher level frameworks. So they take care of that part, that sort of thing anyway.
Right. I mean, so Mac has always been a bit crap for games in terms of the general market, what's available, but it really is. So, I mean, at least when you used to go to Best Buy or CompUSA or something like that, you had some of the big games that were available. So you had Splinter Cell, for example, or what was the Modern Warfare one that went on? You could buy the DVD from those stores and install it. Yeah, that hasn't translated over to the Mac App Store. And actually, you've got some really good games. I'm not suggesting slag them off, because I found some really good games on there. The you remember the one that the origami one that I mentioned a couple of years ago? That was brilliant. And there's some really intuitive games on there. But a lot of the mainstream stuff, and there's no Fortnite, and there's no any of that kind of stuff on there that's really big at the moment that would be perfect. It's on Steam, yeah, but being on Steam's not good enough.
Well,
it's not good enough because Apple's making no income from that.
Right, but that's not good for Apple, but that's part of Apple's problem with the Mac App Store, right, is that all these game companies are already on Steam. Steam was already well established. I'm assuming the financial model is better. I don't know. I honestly don't know what the financial model on Steam looks like, but I'm assuming it's maybe better, and it's a wider net for these guys, right? Because even if you're marketing that you have your game support for Mac, right, you're marketing on one page where you're marketing to a number of different platforms, whereas opposed to you throw at the Mac App Store, you're really only targeting a small subset of Mac users, and Mac users who game at that level are even tinier.
And I mean, it's not that there are no big title games in the Mac App Store. I mean, I remember Civilization is always published there, and I've seen a couple of, I mean, they were top of the charts, a couple of.
The Sim stuff does really well, doesn't it?
Right, yeah.
But the action shooter kind of stuff, you know, the mouse and keyboard stuff, shooters don't do so well at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's all the classic reasons for that, though, too, right? Is like just the Macs have mid-level graphics cards. They've never been, you know, targeted at the kinds of things gamers want. The only thing that's changing that now is the eGPUs. I mean, Razer just dropped the price of one of their breakout boxes to like $299.
Mm-hmm.
So that may actually change some of that from a developer's perspective if Mac users who game get into that eGPU thing. And right now, the early indications that I'm seeing, it seems like a lot of those folks are actually pretty excited about that, you know, being able to put a 1080 card in a eGPU breakout box and run whatever they want.
Yeah. I mean, the other part is more a let's say historic thing. I mean, the framework support, was it OpenCI? I can't remember I'm not a gamer, so I'm not a game developer. I can't remember the framework, but I mean, I remember back like 5-6 years ago, the support for basically hardware acceleration, something equal to DirectX basically, did not exist on a Mac. So, I mean, you couldn't even get, even if you had hard, if even if the Mac has had hardware that was good enough, the support wasn't there from a driver perspective or from a framework perspective. So you couldn't get the power that you needed.
Muller brings up a good point in the chat. I know, surprising, right? but no, he says, you know, Civilization is crippled on the Mac App Store, and that I want to bring it back to the Worldwide Developer Conference stuff, because that's another thing. If Apple is serious about expanding the Mac App Store, trying to back into the sandboxing has really kind of bit them big time, especially with developers. And that whole thing that, you know, you're limited in what you can do if you want to put your game, your app on the Mac App Store. And that has caused a lot of developers to reject it just outright for various reasons. Mm. And that is something that they haven't really addressed. So, I mean, it was interesting when this Marzipan thing came out, because I thought, well, you know, that solves a small issue, right?
Yeah,
guys who want to get their iOS app ported over to the Mac, but I mean, they still have those larger issues to address, like trials and upgrades and you know, just the limitations of the sandboxing.
Yeah, and the reality is that Apple has not paid much attention to that area at all. Right. I mean,
they've ignored it.
They don't see it as an income generator for the obvious reasons that Adam mentioned earlier on. It's a vicious circle, isn't it? There's no income generation there for them. There's no opportunity for developers to move. The developers have no incentive to move games over that are high value and high ticket games. So why bother when Steam's doing it all for them? And it's dead easy probably to make a Steam game.
But it goes further. And again, it goes actually further than that. It's not just about the Mac App Store. It's about the entire system behind it. So, I mean, you mentioned sandboxing. There are severe issues with sandboxing, not just limitations in APIs, but also bugs and so on, I know. And Apple hasn't fixed that. And suddenly, well, it doesn't work this way. That doesn't help. I mean, sandboxing is already a limitation, and then it doesn't work right, and you can't get the issues fixed, then, why would you go? Why would you even consider going to the App Store and, I mean, subjecting yourself to that?
Well, and I mean, Apple, all of this comes back to Apple's position right now, and it's a tricky one of having to manage where their business growth is happening and, you know, still trying to support this base that they have to support. And, you know, it's something that we've been concerned about for a really long time, and I think it's a valid concern. I don't think it's a problem. It's not a problem yet, but it's something that certainly could slide into being a problem. I don't think they've abandoned the Mac, but it does get hard to focus dollars and money and attention on a platform that is becoming an increasingly smaller part of your revenue stream, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Everything gets, it's just how business works. You're going to proportionally apply resources to the things that are making more money. And it's not that Apple doesn't care, you know, because that's the thing that a lot of people in media will want to throw out. Well, Apple doesn't care about the Mac anymore. I don't think it's that's the case. It's just they're trying to balance all this stuff. And I think definitely Mac apps and the Mac App Store have, you know, because there's like this hierarchy, and the OS is getting some nice updates and things like that. But I think they haven't focused on Mac developers very much. But again, that's an increasingly smaller part of their revenue. So, you know, what do they do? It'll be interesting to see if they talk about the Mac apps and how much they talk about Mac apps at Worldwide Developer Conference this year.
Whether they talk about the Mac at all, other than maybe announcing the new Mac OS.
Well, that's the thing, is I'd like to see them talking a little bit more to Mac developers, because I think, because just for the reasons we just talked about, I think it's an area they've ignored for too long.
Yeah.
And I think they're aware. It seems like they're aware of it. So it'll be really telling to see what narrative comes out from Apple. Mm. For Mac developers out of Worldwide Developer Conference.
Yeah.
Good point here from Deeppan. Will most people spend that sort of money on graphics cards and breakout boxes when they can get an Xbox or PlayStation for the same price or less? And if you're looking at PlayStation VR coming into that equation as well financially, then it makes a lot more sense. I mean, that's too cheap for what it provides.
I totally agree, but console gamers and PC gamers are really, from what I understand, I'm not big in that world, but I have a lot of friends who are. From what I understand in that world, they're really two different animals. Yes. They're two different beasts.
Yeah,
like you're either a console gamer and you're all in over there, or you're a PC gamer, and there's a little crossover obviously because they're gamers, but you know, if you're into tweaking and maximizing your desktop, you know, PC experience, that's, you're all in on that, and you're spending insane gobs of money to do that for whatever reason. I don't personally understand it. I don't get it because I'm not a gamer, but I do know that that is a fact. Like, PC gamers just go crazy with their gear.
Yes, I've heard the same thing from friends.
Jordan agrees with you, Matt Kess. Good to know. So Apple are going to, according to some of the rumors, refresh the 12-inch MacBook. God, does that need it? And the MacBook Pro lines, holy shit, with next-generation Intel chips. They've got to do an awful lot more with the MacBook Pro, I think. I'm interested to know, because anecdotally, and I'm aware it's anecdotally, but it's far more than any other product I've ever seen from Apple. The MacBook Pro line has got serious, serious issues. Mm-hmm. And I know people have MacBook Pros that are glitch-free. Totally accept that. But anecdotally, I have heard more people complain about that computer than I've ever heard anyone complain ever about a Mac computer. Are Apple going to address that? Are they going to, I mean, admit is the wrong word.
No. They won't admit anything.
They will not admit it.
But are they going to say, okay, so we've changed, and are they going to get rid of the keyboard?
We've created an even better keyboard. That's what they're going to say.
Yes, that'll be the spin. Meaning we've redesigned the crappy keyboard and fixed the problems.
We've gone back to the old system.
I don't think they're going to go back to the old system. I think they will have fixed their new system.
Small tweaks, maybe.
They have got to address the MacBook Pro, though, surely. Imagine we come out the other side of next week and they haven't mentioned MacBook Pro. That's Scully level head in the sand, surely.
No, I wouldn't be surprised because, I mean, it's a developer to software focused event. And if they do anything, they might just do a spec bum press release type update for the MacBook Pro line.
And I honestly don't even think they're going to do that because again, here's the problem. They're suffering at the hands of Intel once again. Yes. Intel does not have the processors that they need to do the upgrade, and they're not going to be here till maybe the end of the year.
Yeah.
They have one out now that will do the new DDR LDP or low LPD RAM, LPDDR, excuse me, low power. They need the low power DDR4 RAM and the chips that'll do that. There's only an i3 out right now, I think, in that lineup.
The battery regulation as well because the battery regulation is keeping the power consumption requirement low, therefore the chips are in short supply or low.
And they would shoot themselves in the foot if they try to put out a MacBook Pro spec update and don't get past the RAM limit. People will freak out. They already freaked out last year. They freaked out last year.
That's what I'm saying, though, Adam. The root of the problem you're describing is the power requirements on the battery for mobile flight, is it not?
You've got to have
small batteries. You've got to have low quantities of spec on the batteries for the purposes of transport and shipping. That's then driving the power consumption issues, which in turn is driving the chip issues, which is in turn driving the RAM issue. Until they can put bigger, the problem we've got is at the moment in the computers that we've currently got, if we wanted 64 gig of RAM, there's a good trip back. If we wanted 64 gig of RAM in our laptops, we're going to have to put bigger batteries in because what we've got, won't last 10 hours. We can't ship it with any bigger battery in it because they won't let us because of the stupid frigging rules from America.
Well, even if they could ship with bigger batteries, the question is whether they want to because bigger batteries are also heavier and so on.
Well, and they're not going to increase the case design either to try to get more battery in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sorry, but I think there is, if you ask the average MacBook Pro user who is not particularly average, I would agree, but if you ask the average MacBook Pro user, they would prefer to see bigger batteries, more RAM, more processing power, and be hanged with the transport regulations.
They would also even accept a larger case, you know,
I want a 17 inch.
I wouldn't. No, I'm very happy with the case size and the case design.
I've heard from plenty of people that are like, just give me the RAM and I don't care about how thin it is.
Yeah, the RAM, I think the RAM is more decisive thing. It's not about the case design. It's about I need more RAM because, I mean, 16 gigabytes with, like, I mean, if you're doing graphics design or video editing or anything like that, it's getting close to impossible to use it.
But see, here's the thing, is if I've got a laptop with a terabyte hard drive, 64 gig of RAM, and a 17-inch screen, Apple would have my $3,000.
That machine would be $3,000. It'd be $5,000.
Three and a half. I would guess three and a half.
The base I'm negotiating here. Three and a half, Tim.
at the base price?
Yeah, base price, three and a half.
No, but I just want me 1 terabyte hard drive, me 64 gig of RAM, and I want a 17-inch screen.
15-inch. How much is a 15-inch with terabyte right now?
Yeah, about that.
It's about $3,000.
I'll do 3.5. Like I said, I'll do 3.5. Final offer, Tim. Take it or leave it.
We're talking about Apple.
I have that right now. I mean, I have a terabyte and it's about $3,000. So
yeah, maybe 3.5. It's going to be pushing for 3.99.
See, now, if you want to know who's in cloud cuckoo land, it's Jordan here. He says, I just want to open it and put the RAM and the HD in when I want.
No, that's not going to happen anymore.
Greeny wants a DVD drive.
Well, I mean, so let's talk about the bigger thing here, right? Is the MacBook Pro falling victim to the same kinds of things that the Mac Pro did? You know, and Apple we haven't seen the machine yet, but I mean, Apple claims they've done a reversal on that thinking because Pro users, you know, were so vocal about it. And I think with the keyboard design and you know, the RAM thing, I think they're hearing a lot more from Pro users on the mobile side too, that look, you're just not listening. You're not listening to what we in the market want. You're not building the machine that we need.
That's true.
That's a question. I would question that. I mean, about the keyboard, maybe, but I think, I mean, that is a design flaw. It's not a people want
allegedly
a different keyboard.
It has divided the Pro market so heavily over a stupid keyboard. I mean, at a certain point, it gets ridiculous. Well, right?
Hang on, but can we just
draw the line though, Patrice and Adam, between the keyboard not being something you like, which, I mean, I've hit that keyboard and I love the way it feels when I type. I can type like the wind on it. So it's not about the design and feel, because, and I think that is the Marmite 50-50 thing that you're talking about, Adam.
Right.
But it stopping working is not a divisional issue. Keyboard is not working.
But the follow-on question that I want to ask you is the keyboard that existed before that, how much did you hate that one? Like, this needs to be redesigned?
Yes, like, I actually was like that.
So Patrice is a yes, because I've asked this question of a few people, and very and few people say it was that bad that they were like, oh, this, I mean, this sucks. I need a new keyboard.
Yeah, I mean,
I think
that's what you have. That's what you have in this 50-50, though. You have people that are like, this keyboard sucks so bad, I'm not buying this machine.
So here's my take on it, wrong or otherwise. I think Apple has created a genus of keyboard. There is a type of Apple keyboard that has been out there since probably about the 2007 MacBook Pro, where it's that low profile key that just requires a light tap. And if you look at all the other external keyboards that are out there to buy, I bought an external keyboard thinking, oh, it'd be great to have something like the old split keyboard that Microsoft used to do. And I couldn't stand having those raised keys anymore. I had to go back to something that felt like the Apple keyboard. And when Logitech made that solar-powered version that had that Apple genus of keyboard, then it felt right and it worked brilliantly. And I was in love with it. And I think the new keyboard is still in that genus of low profile touch keys, but because they're bigger and because they click differently, that's a preferential issue, most definitely.
I totally get that. I totally get that part. And I don't have any problem with the new keyboard or the old keyboard. I'm fine with either of them. But I've been polling my audience. I've asked this question of a lot of people because as this topic came up, And I mean, literally, there are people that will not, they're like, I bought the current machine and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm really not going to upgrade. I mean, eventually they're going to have to. I mean, they're going to be forced to and deal with it. And I think but after that, they'll be fine. But I mean, is it worth that much angst? Well, and that's what I'm getting to with my question about, you know, is it a case of not listening to the market? Because they did the same thing with the Mac Pro and said, you're going to love it. And there were a lot of people that didn't love it.
But for me, the question ultimately is how much of that feedback is based on negative press and the, I mean, definitely existent keyboard.
Again, I'd be with you, except I've, for the past month, polled my audience and I've heard.
Yeah, but I mean, how much of, the, I mean, based even
a lot of people.
How much of that is because they really don't like the keyboard and how much is because they heard so many negative things about
that it's not working? That specific follow-on question with every single one of them, and it's they just don't like the keyboard. They own the machine. These are all people who have the machine, and there are a lot of them. I shouldn't say all of them. A lot of them are people that have the machine, and they're like, I've had this for 6 months. I've had this for a year. I still hate this keyboard. My keys have gone squishy. You know, they've, and that's getting back to some of the technical problems. Yes. But
that's a different issue.
It's not just about the technical problems. I've really tried to get to the bottom of this, believe me, because I was in your same camp, Patrice, because I just couldn't believe that there were that many people out there that just really vitriolly hate this design. The other complaint I get a lot is about the touch bar, specifically where the delete escape key is. I guess there's certain people that type in a certain way where they're constantly hitting that thing. And there's no way to disable it, and they hate that part of it. It impacts their actual daily work.
Yeah. For me, it's more or less just useless.
Are you in that camp too?
Yes. It's like,
I haven't got one, but I did say when it first came out, didn't I? Ergonomically, it's positioned in the wrong place entirely.
Yes.
So again, I mean,
bar rejection and
we don't need to go on about this side of things. It's more the broader question is, does Apple really have this problem where they've gone design over function too far? I mean, they always do that, and they usually win us out. But it really feels to me like with this design, they didn't win people over.
I think it
needs to be changed.
Coming back to your original question, whether this is another case of what they did with the iPad with the Mac Pro. I think not. I think the general overall design, the case design and everything, all of that, there's enough room in that to change it. I mean, they could change the keyboard to a little bit different design. They could probably even put a bigger battery in if they wanted to, because the other parts are usually shrinking.
I agree with you. I don't think they're to the point where they need a radical redesign. I think there's little tweaks to be made, and I think they do need. But I do think they need to listen to their audience, who's requesting some of these tweaks.
I think they fixed the keyboard when it wasn't broken. It's probably their bigger issue.
Yeah,
no one hated the old keyboard, and now they've got one that some people hate. So
I think that's it. I mean, as I said, I still think it's better for me. Definitely, it's better. But maybe spending another year on it and perfecting it would have been the better choice.
I mean, there's some evidence that they've already, by the way, just for people, from my polling of folks, there is some evidence that they may have already tweaked the keyboard design internally quietly and addressed some of the actual breakage issues.
And I mean, it could be. I mean, my MacBook, I mean, I got that one last 3 months, so maybe that's why I'm not having that issue. Maybe they tweaked it and I simply didn't know.
I pulled a bunch of people who've had theirs replaced a couple people multiple times, and the more recent repairs seem to be holding up after several months. But again, who knows? We got to wait long term.
Interesting point here. Way back, actually, Jordan Airwave says, will they ditch the touch bar on the MacBook Pro? And then Windrider says, they're going to put a touch bar on an external keyboard.
That I would love that. I mean, as I said, other than that, I think it's useless, and that's not about the touch bar. That's about the software side of it. I would love that because
I
see
probably do something potential. Far better. Well, you could probably do something far better on an external keyboard because you haven't got the constraints of the trackpad, and you haven't got the constraints of the screen being in the way. You know, you can choose where you want it on that. And a touch bar, you know, delete the number pad and have a touch bar that was on the right-hand side of the keyboard that allowed you to have icons there spread up and down. You know, you could get 20 icons on that on a touch screen. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Well, and to Patrice's point, if it was more universal, there'd be more incentive for developers to use it, right?
Yeah.
That too, yes.
Which the only thing, my question would be, because pretty much the USB is probably no more powerful than USB 1, isn't it, for connection almost? So would it have the power requirements to drive that key, to drive that screen? I'm saying no. Because once I plug anything to my external, I've got my external keyboard here that's linked up to my Thunderbolt display, and once I put anything more in that than the mouse receiver, it just falls over. It can't do it. You can't charge a damn thing out of it.
Well, so it would be wireless anyway, right?
No, but what I'm saying is that so my Mac keyboard has got the old little thing in here. So I've got the little wireless dongle here for my Logitech pad in it. But if I stick in something there and plug my iPhone into it, it just falls over. It says no, and it's just no. There's too much of a demand on the USB system. I can't do it.
Well, but I mean, the new keyboards, the new wireless keyboards, and also the wired keyboards. I think they could do that. That's just something they could change if necessary.
Well, I think the wired keyboard, I don't think there's enough power, and the wireless keyboard, I think it would drain the battery too quick.
But I mean, all of those things.
It's always on screen, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of like a small iPhone. So all of that they could address.
Right. That's actually bigger than you have more space in there to put battery than you would in an iPhone, right?
And the touch bar probably uses less power than an iPhone because it doesn't need big radios. It doesn't have to show videos and all that. It's more or less static content that just changes.
And weight's not going to matter either because you're not picking it up and moving it around.
Yes. So I think all of that is absolutely possible.
So Muller says touch bar is a gimmick, and I don't disagree. I think it was an attempt at doing something that was almost quite gimmicky or interesting as a project, as an R&D function. But there's a point there from Jordan Airwaves who says, will they ditch the touch bar? And I don't think they can. They cannot ditch that this early because there would be too much egg on face.
And I mean, as I said, I see a lot of potential in the touch bar.
It's just never been realized. And again, I think having a broader base of customers, part of the reason developers don't develop for something is like it's a small subset. You know, it's just like when the iPhone first came out, you had a few apps, and now you have a ton because there's so many. You have such a large installed base of consumers that can use it. So and it like, or like any feature in iOS, like 3D touch or you know, even some of the newer gestures and things like that. It took a while for the phones that supported those features to get out in the marketplace. And you know, we're seeing the same thing right now with ARKit, right? There's a limited number of devices that can do ARKit, but as more and more get into the market, you'll see more software supporting it. So
for example, also the iPhone 10 and the iPhone 10, you see some apps still have issues with that layout because they are targeting the older devices more than the iPhone 10.
Yep. So we're just in transition. It'll get there.
Comment here. Deepan says, are they going to put more travel on the keys and then they could use the piezo action of that to recharge the battery?
Well, there is an idea. Or they could just do what Logitech did, put a solar panel in it.
Solar panel on it.
Behind the touch bar or something.
I bet you there's a patent that Logitech that Apple would just never get into.
There's there's patents and designs. I was at a conference maybe 5-6 years ago, and material scientists were looking at ways to build batteries into things like glass and plastic materials. And I mean, you could eventually probably have solar cells embedded in the display.
Yeah. I even remember a couple of years ago, there was a patent. I don't know who owns it, whether it was Apple or someone else, where it's basically a solar panel embedded in the display of a smartphone.
Right. Yeah.
So it's possible.
And it can even pull, I mean, and you say solar, but I mean, these things could even draw minor current from interior lights.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the current Logitech keyboard does. I mean, it's inside all the time and plenty of power. It never runs out of power, at least for me it didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, even as a supplemental or just additional to kind of top things up or run, especially if Apple has smaller sub chips and things like that, they can even start to divide out power requirements for lower power chips like Bluetooth chips and things like that. So.
Yeah, and Apple is building their own chips anyway, so.
Yeah. Muller suggesting that the new keyboard will be nuclear powered.
there's an idea.
there's a guy who's just about to turn up at an Apple store and go in a black suit with a weird haircut saying he wants 30,000 of them. the thing is that if you look at a lot of the predictions, and this is what bothers me, because we've had a few of these in recent years of Apple going, here's what you would have won. So you've watched them deliver this thing and they've gone, we've got this thing coming up, and you're like, wow. And you're like, it'll be available next year. And there's a suggestion that the iPad Pro line is going to get an upgrade and a mention at this thing, but it's coming later, because typically you don't get iPad until September, do you, October? And I'd be really, if Apple wants to preview hardware for the view of the developers being able to develop for that new hardware, like they do with the HomePod, I don't have a problem with that. But if you're talking about updating existing lines, you can't tease an existing line ahead of time and expect anyone to go that's valid. Because it's just like, they will do that. I think that prediction is right. That's what bothers me.
I mean, they have actually, if I remember correctly, last year they announced the new update to the iPad Pro during WWDC. As far as I remember, because I remember I bought it last year in June, my iPad Pro. So must have been either a press release or even in the event.
And here's the thing that bothers me then, is this event going to be, and it'll be available Friday, or is this an event and we'll be telling you soon about that?
I'm guessing available Friday. If it's just a minor spec bump, it's just like either available today or ships later this week or whatever.
Yeah. So they're talking about an iPad Pro with Face ID.
Yeah. I mean, that's a small, that's nothing really exciting, really. I mean, it's like, okay.
So you think that'll be a mention, it'll be available on Friday?
Yeah, I would guess so.
That'll be £900 lighter on Saturday.
I think you'll probably have till September. I don't think they're going to. I'm not expecting any hardware announcements at Worldwide Developer
Conference.
I'm expecting I'm not expecting hardware to be available. And that bothers me.
Yeah, we haven't seen any leaks from the supply chain, and that's usually a pretty good indication that there's nothing coming, really. I mean, other than the, was it the MacBook Air or something that was earlier this year and then didn't ship? I think other than that,
I think they're going to focus 100% on the operating systems and software APIs, and I'm not expecting any hardware.
No, neither do I. I mean, I think they should focus on software. There's plenty to talk about.
We've got 11.4.1 out at the moment for OS, haven't we? Are we getting 11.5 then?
No.
Do you think?
No, they'll be talking about 12, iOS 12.
Yes. We will not.
There'll be a 12, you reckon? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're going to talk iOS 12 and macOS 11.5, right?
iOS 12, Dangerous Compton.
10.11.5 is how are we doing? I don't even know how we're doing Mac.
I think 10.14 now.
15
even.
No, 10. Are we on 13? We're on 13.
We are 10.13, I think.
So 10.14. Sorry.
Yeah, it should be 14.
Jesus. Are they going to start to broaden to the whole state? So we've got the next OS is going to be Mount Rushmore or something like that.
Yeah,
there was a leak. I know, I should have had this in front of me. There was a leak of possible names out there somewhere. I'll see if I can find it as we're talking. But
that is something I wish Apple would change. At this point, this 10-point something is just ridiculous.
And they're only using, California.
Landmarks. Yeah, no, they're supposed to use it. So come on in the chat room, your chance to tell us what is the new name for the new Mac OS. What's it going to be called?
Oxnard.
Ozarks. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? I'm bored now. I'm not doing that anymore. Apple as I thought it was an interesting story actually in a roundabout kind of way, because we were talking earlier on about the issue with Intel not having the chips available and stuff. But Apple's opened an engineering hub near Portland, and of course Intel has got a facility up there, and Apple are starting to steal staff. And I really friggin' hope we're not going to get a diversity in the chips. But are we? I mean, could there be a maximization of Intel chips, or a pressure on Intel brought to bear because of this that means that they want a greater acceleration of development in Intel chips?
Apple's going to move to their own chip designs on the Mac. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
Yeah, it's gonna be a couple of years.
Why?
Well, they've only just bought it. So
why is because they have the engineering talent. They've proven on iOS that they're really, really good at it, and Intel is holding them back. I mean, they're at the same place now with Intel that they were with IBM back in the 90s. You know, they're at the mercy of Intel, and Intel's just not delivering the designs that Apple needs for the direction of its products moving forward. And I don't doubt that they've been trying to work very hard with Intel, but I mean, Intel has other customers and has other, you know, reasons for doing what they do. They're not just Apple's, you know, they're not just a company there to serve Apple as much as Apple is a big customer of theirs.
And it's not that, I mean, it's not that Intel is doing this intentionally. I mean, they're running into serious engineering issues, and that's why they have to do what they're doing, and that's why they're shipping things so late. It's not that they want to do that or made a political decision to do that. It's like, simply they are having issues, engineering issues. So, and I mean, Apple has, I mean, at least historically, had a very, very good partnership with Intel. I mean, there were even times where Apple got chips earlier than anybody else, things like that, or even custom chips that nobody else had for a while.
Jordan's making a good point. He's saying that Intel have got slack over the last few years, and that would indicate that Apple are fed up with them as well, as a few other producers probably are. AMD have kicked them in the ass with the Ryzen chip last year, but how much of a leap has the A-series chip got to make for Apple to be able to provide, or even if they're going to, you know, delta the process and go off with a completely different style of chip? How much work is there in that, though?
My feeling is the work isn't even that big on the chip design side. I mean, the iPad Pro right now, the chip that's in there is already pretty good. I mean, it's to a level that it's almost desktop class, at least for a low power desktop. Now, I mean, if you think about that, a MacBook has more power, so more battery power, has more thermal headway, all of that. I think they could scale that up. The question is more on the software engineering side. What happens to like things like Bootcamp and apps and so on? Because that's an entirely different platform. And that is something that, I mean, because we haven't had any big leaks this year, this is one of the possibilities what could happen. I mean, just like Swift dropped and nobody expected it, this could be something that drops where they say, okay, this is our route to getting ARM support on the desktop. Is it likely? I don't know, but it's possible.
Yeah, I fully expect. I mean, if they do something like this, it would be they'd start with something like a MacBook Air update.
Yeah.
And there's been rumors for a long time that they've already got the operating system running on ARM processors in house, just like they did with the switch to Intel, where Apple comes out and says, "Oh, and by the way, we've been running OS X on Intel for a year." You know. You all right? He muted. Yeah, so I mean, while he's doing that, I did find the possible names. Apple had filed some trademarks for Mojave, Sequoia, Sonoma, and Ventura recently in a couple different countries. My guess is it'll be Mojave.
Mm-hmm. Alex
and Mojave. They can't name an OS after a desert. That's just like, is it featureless? Yes.
Well, it might be. I think the next version of Mac OS is going to be another iteration of just, you know, small tweaks and improvements to performance and stability. I don't expect a lot of major new features.
Well, what about the Project Star stuff though? Because that's the big talking point, isn't it?
Right.
The Star project. Yeah. Because they've already reckoned that they've got prototypes produced in China, which makes no sense of making an engineering facility in Portland if you're going to produce it in China anyway. And research it in China.
Yeah.
No? Okay. Yeah.
I had a crazy idea, right? What if they change the style of macOS to a, let's say, more iOS style, a very bare-bones design, and then Mojave fits?
Because as a final cut user, shut up. Just shut up, Patrice.
Yeah, I just don't... I'm ambivalent on the Star stuff because I think this is stuff, these are rumors that we've all heard before, and I think it's something the media is just getting wrong. Like, I have firm beliefs that Apple firmly believes what they've always told us, that the idea of a hybrid laptop touchscreen thing is stupid.
Yeah.
I don't think it's stupid, I just don't think they'll do it.
I agree.
Well, but I think they won't do it because I don't think they believe in it. Do I think they play around with it and are trying to figure out if it's something that'll work? Yes, but I think they do that in R&D and then they realize this isn't the device that we think anybody wants. And I know a lot of people really like Surface tablets and all that stuff. I know there's a whole camp of people that really enjoy those, but I just don't think it's a big enough market for Apple to go after. And plus, added to the fact that I think at their core they don't believe it's a life-changing product.
Tim Cook has said as much. They've said the iPad Pro, that is their device. That is the device for that segment. So have they invested enough time into it to make it good? No. There's enough to improve.
So I'm in the camp with Gurman over at Bloomberg, who a couple of days ago said that's the project for the low cost iPhone.
Yeah.
And so everybody was just getting this report wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Muller wins OS 10 naming competition hands down with OS 10 Stormy Daniels. Well done, mate. The Bash is coming up. It is the 6th, 7th, and 8th of July. So it's literally a month away. I've got to pay for the venue on the 6th of June or cancel it. So if you would like to come to the Bash, please, please, please book your ticket with this month's pay packet, not next month's, because otherwise I'm in deep poop because I won't have enough people, or I'll go ahead and book it and then I'll be out of pocket when there's 10 of us dancing around our handbags at the venue. So please, please, please get your Bash tickets reserved now. Even if you just sent me an email that says, look, I haven't got the money, but I'm definitely coming you, and that'd be great. Please, please. Mm-hmm. It makes a massive difference. 6th, 7th, and 8th. We've got a game of golf on the 6th, which went down rather well last year in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we'll do a bit of shopping and finishing off ready for the day. And then on the Friday night, we've got the curry. Saturday, we'll have the usual Bash, which will be loads of fun. We've got an alternative venue for rooms as well at the Minworth Social Club, if you want to look that up. I've got a link I can send to you as well. Yeah. And the rooms there are about £35 for a twin room. So they're good value. And they won't change. Those prices are fixed. It's not like these that react to the algorithm. But there's quite a few rooms already sold over here. So I think that might be because a few people are planning on coming, but they haven't booked their ticket yet. Please, please, please book your ticket for the Bash. 6th, 7th, and 8th of July, and the World Card Cutting Championships will be there, and the lady that won it last time will be there defending. She's already booked her ticket, so definitely happening. And also,
I can definitely recommend the golf. I mean, even if you don't play golf, which I don't, I really enjoyed it last year. I'm still talking about it. I mean, I just mentioned it like the other week to a friend here who plays golf, and I said I really enjoyed that. That's one of the reasons I want to try golf, actually, because of
Patrice. You're in Golf Central. That's all.
Yes, I am now.
God, Arizona. There's tons of courses.
Yes, I mean, I don't know, 200 something just here in the valley. It's like
you are in the state which is the most mismanaged water resource in the entire US, mate.
Yes.
Most definitely.
Like, why are there so many golf courses in the desert?
And now we're finishing.
We can do it.
Yeah. No one can tell us we can't. We've also, if you can't get to watch the event with us, if you go to the Sir John Balcombe pub in Marylebone, you can join Elmerg there. It's £5 for non-members to come in for the night, and you can join for £15 for the whole year. But go and see Elmerg. They're a great bunch of people. They'll be there starting from 5:30 p.m. on Monday. Look for Magic Man. He'll be there. He's in the chat room here, and he'd be in the Slack room, so some of you will know him. But if you're in London on Monday, get yourself the Sir John Balcombe pub. It's just around the corner from Marylebone Station. Excuse me, dead easy to get to, and it's fiver to get in, nothing more. And you can watch the thing live, and there'll be a raffle as well, and they'll be giving away something that they don't already have, which is what they've done every year so far. I think when the HomePod was announced, they gave away a HomePod, and they weren't even available at that point. So, oh no, it's free. Magic Man's correcting me in the Slack room. It's free this year. If you are a non-member of them, you can get in free. Well, that's even better.
Nice.
You can't beat that.
Sponsors.
No, not yet. I was going to do one more because there's been a couple of screen protectors that have come out with notches in them for supposedly the AC, in inverted commas. And also there's a suggestion that the notch is going to become almost like a standard design feature. I think Apple have kind of either this is bullshit or Apple have got to the idea of, right, well, we're going to have to throw our weight behind the notch because we're stuck with it. If we want to do face recognition, it's the only way we can do it. So we've got to make the notch a thing. It's got to be an Apple thing, and it's got to be on every device. Otherwise, we'll look like tits.
Well, I think that was the plan from the beginning.
If you look at all the Android phones that are coming out right now,
Xiaomi has just brought one out with a notch in it.
Yes. Well, they brought one out that just looked like the iPhone 10.
And the fact that it's getting copied. But I think Apple, you know, again, I brought this up when the whole notch debate was going on, that this was something that Apple realized they had to do. And once Apple does that, they go all in. I mean, they're all in on the notch. It's just that solved the problem that they had. And now it's actually an iconic design feature. So why not put your full weight behind it?
Yeah. It wasn't an accident.
Pretty much the suggestion is that if you're going to have the cheap SE phone, you won't be able to tell the difference between it and the 7. It'll be pretty much identical. It's
interesting. I kind of feel like this isn't the year that the SE gets the notch just because of its price point.
I agree. But no, they're talking about the fact there won't be any Face ID on it. It's just a notch. The notch will just become a design feature.
Oh.
So in other words, they're buying the screens already. So why don't we just buy the screens already and put them in all the other devices? Because then we can swear blind that the notch is a design feature, regardless of whether it's got Face ID or not.
No, the low-cost iPhone in the iPhone line, the main iPhone line, will have it. I don't think the SE is going to have it. I think SE is still going to have Touch ID.
I seriously think that they're going to make this the design feature of all Apple iOS products. There will be a notch in.
I agree. I'm just saying it's not going to happen in the SE this year. It'll be another year.
Might be next year.
It won't have face recognition, but it'll have a notch.
All right. We'll see who's right.
Yeah.
I can see that being, because that's just crass, but I can see it happening.
Yeah.
And we're getting three cameras on the next iPhone 10, which isn't going to be an 11. It's going to be a 10 something else.
Just a 10.
10 Mark just 2.
10 Mark
the
2.
They'll go back to the iPhone with it.
Well, I mean, we did stick on 10 with Mac OS, so why can't we do it with your phone?
10.1. Yes, let's do 10.1.
They're never going to do a point revision of the iPhone. Jesus Christ. It's going to be the best.
The 10.2, the 10.3, the 10.4.
No.
They were stacked till 10.14 or 13.
They're into their singularities. It's got to be the iPhone, hasn't it? So it's got to be the best iPhone we've ever made.
Well, I've said that for a while, and I'm surprised they haven't done that yet. Yeah. Move to just it's the iPhone, and we've got three sizes. You know,
well, they tried that with the iPad and went back. So
what was it they used to do back in the day? Good, better, best. You know, same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the thing is in the next one, I think they've got to do something with the camera because the reason that I have one of the main reasons I haven't got 10 is A, I think the price is wrong. I've got a moral problem with that, but I've also got a problem with it in the fact that, you know, typically I would want the cameras to be doing something an awful lot better than what the 7 currently is, and it's not. So therefore, why would I spend the money? So logic tells me that if they want to make the 10 more appealing to me, certainly, and it's all about me, darling, then they've got to do something with the camera. But what three lenses are going to give me unless it's just a macro, MIDI, micro kind of setup type thing, then I don't know.
I thought that was more about the depth sensing 3D AR VR features than it even was about.
Yeah, I think so as well. That was, I mean, they said it was about it's better different focal lengths and so on. But I think ultimately it was about.
Well, they've got the two lenses on the 7, haven't they? I've got my 7 Plus, and that's got got two lenses for the
Plus model said it. Yes.
The switching, yeah. So there's got to be something there. Muller's suggesting it's going to be the iPhone triple X. He's also put down it could be the iPhone X1. So never mind. They're not doing 10 anymore. They're just going to go for the Roman numerals.
Yeah, they will. There's an idea.
All the way through.
I wouldn't deep be surprised.
Pads, deep pads type, three lenses. Does that mean the picture's now in Dolby? Which I think he meant Dolby, but there's no E in Dolby. So I might have that wrong.
Yeah, I mean, there will definitely be, I mean, we're not talking, I mean, that is like 3 months away still, but there will definitely be some improvement to the cameras. There is every year. It's just, usually it's small. I mean, they did change it. Yeah. For the iPhone 10, but it was a small improvement.
Any other predictions for WWDC? Is there any, what cool features are we getting? Are we getting a better version, a singular version of iCal, iContacts, and that kind of stuff, and mail, or are they just going to stick with the same old?
No.
I think NFC would be something. I mean, we've heard some rumors in that area, and I think that would be something it's time to expand that. There are more use cases that we can apply it to.
NFC in Macs or just in iOS?
No, just in iOS. In the phone and watch.
Opening up, there's rumors they're going to open it up to developers and, you know, people to use it for like security systems and in your office building and just letting developers have access to the chip so that they can use it.
One thing I can tell you is they will not just give you access to the chip. They will not do the Android thing and just give you straight up access to NFC. There will be a API with limited functionality that allows you to do certain things like room keys and so on. Because what they don't want is, I mean, what it has happened on Android is that it's used for fraud. That it's basically similar. You can simulate an NFC chip of a credit card that you just copied.
But you'll be able to take your phone when you check into a hotel, tap it and it'll become your room key.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, if I remember correctly, they kind of already started doing that with the Apple Watch, right? Because they have the NFC, fitness thing where you could connect to the
fitness device. In the fitness.
Yeah. So they've already, let's say, started that process last year. So I think that's almost safe bet.
Yeah. You know, kudos on Apple because I really think we're in the dark on a lot of things around Worldwide Developer Conference. I think Patrice brought that up at the beginning of the show. Like, no one seems to really know. There has not been a lot of leaks around Worldwide Developer Conference. So it's actually going to be one of probably the more exciting keynotes we've had in a while because I have no idea what they're going to show us, honestly.
I'm very excited about that.
They did double down on secrecy 4 years ago, and then the following keynote was probably the worst-kept secret they've ever had. So obviously the doubling down thing was like a long-term thing, and now it's coming to fruition.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, the threats earlier
double down has now occurred.
Earlier this year maybe worked, you know, the putting out the story that we've actually had people arrested. And, you know, in the company yeah. for leaking.
The other things that I can see are HomeKit improvements, like more devices, hopefully Mac OS HomeKit support that you can finally also trigger HomeKit scenes and changes from the Mac, and CarPlay, I would guess. I hope that there's some CarPlay improvement.
That's been really quiet as development, hasn't it? They don't shout out about it much at all, and you don't understand it that much, to be honest. Unless you you've got a CarPlay system,
right?
You virtually have no clue what's going on with it.
But what I was going to bring up is the people that I know that do have a CarPlay system love it.
Oh yes. No. But there are so many. I mean, Siri on CarPlay is even worse than on any other device.
It needs work. Yeah, that's the other thing you'll hear from people who have CarPlay. But it needs work.
I've seen CarPlay for 2 hours on the journey with Mark Coulshaw from Hoya a year ago, and I loved it. But I know nothing about it. I have no references. I have no information. I have no sales pitch at me. I don't get an email from Apple that says, CarPlay is revolutionizing the automobile industry. You should buy a car with CarPlay. They've sold it like shit in comparison.
Well, they've left it to the auto companies, I think, to sell, which is probably not the best thing to do.
They don't. For the most part, they don't.
Yeah.
And the app support is, I mean, I would say out of the apps that I have, there are a couple that I would like to have in CarPlay that I don't. It's like, I mean, you get the bare bones. You get some podcast players. You get Audible. You get messages and WhatsApp and not much more.
So that's what the new place is like, isn't it? The new Apple town is, they've got that bit in the center and they've got the statue of Steve Jobs pointing to the stars like Zefram Cochrane.
Yeah.
And all the leakers are chained around the bottom in stocks. And they go out and there's Johnny Ive throwing his sushi at them.
Yes.
I saw a little bit of that from Deep Pan. Sorry, man. I was going to say something really important then as well. Oh, yeah, new Mac Mini. No?
Someday.
Someday, maybe.
One day my prince will come. There we go.
I will tell you, I finally got around to upgrading the hard drive in my wife's 2014 to an SSD. And oh, my God, why I didn't do that, like, 3 years ago is beyond me. But
you can get a 240 gigabyte SSD now for about 30 quid.
I got this. Yeah, I mean, I got a 1 terabyte for 240, the latest Samsung XO860 or something like that. And it was just like a no-brainer. And that's like a brand new machine.
Yeah.
With that one upgrade. So I just throwing it out there because if anybody has an older Mac Mini and wants to give it an injection, get an SSD and stick it in there. And it wasn't too bad. I got the toolkit from iFixit and spent about an hour to do the whole thing. You've got to completely disassemble the Mac Mini, but it was actually kind of fun and interesting to see how that jigsaw puzzle goes together.
It's a very, very, when you've fitted an SSD to a Mac Mini, you appreciate design.
Yeah.
Cause how you've got to take that thing apart to get it out, because it really is a ship in a bottle, isn't it, with that bottom cover?
Yeah, but it's actually kind of fun and it's interesting. You know, just be careful that I did it, so anybody else can do it, I know.
Muller brings something up in the chat, actually, that's pretty good. What about, I mean, Apple TV and, I mean, all the software attached to it, like TV app, the streaming service that's supposedly coming, all of that. Yeah. Do you think anything will be announced in that area?
Streaming service not until 2019.
Okay, so
there's still content, isn't there, that's being dabbled with Apple TV, and there's got to be a specific channel set up for them at some point. I would have thought.
I have to tell you,
I'll do it through the TV app.
I love the TV app, and I use it every day now, and it's getting better and better the more stuff that gets added to it.
Yeah, it still has some really weird bugs.
And they got to get if they can just get the Netflix thing taken care of, please.
Yes.
Be brilliant.
Yeah. What's the Netflix thing?
Yeah.
What?
The Netflix thing, because I haven't seen that.
Netflix isn't integrated with the TV app yet. It still isn't.
Yeah. So you can
still go into the Netflix app. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, I think, is that because of the separated accounts thing? because the Apple TV couldn't cope with separated accounts, whereas I've got an account for me, an account for an account for Bryony, and an account for Mom and Dad. Holy shit,
maybe I don't know what that is. Something they could announce. Correct. Worldwide Developer Conference, I would love to hear them say Apple TV support for TV app for multiple users would be awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, I have a TV show stuck in my up next section right now that I can't get rid of. There's an episode that I watched. I tried to mark it as watched. I probably have to just remove the entire show. And
I think you can tap and hold or force them and hit delete, right? Can't you?
Yeah, that's probably what I have to do. But I tried to mark it as watched like 15 times and it just doesn't do it.
Because you can remove stuff in case, you know, you watch something that maybe you're not so proud of and you don't want your family to know.
Yeah.
Not that I've done that or anything.
No, absolutely. You can do that.
So that's Adam frantically trying to get rid of when porn ends. porn ends is not like burnt ends that you get at the Hickory's restaurant or something like that.
No, it's more just like, honestly, I'm not that exciting, man. It's more just like stuff like really bad shit, movies. Yeah. Like, why did you watch that garbage?
Yeah.
You got your mom going, what's porn in? Is that the bit that you get that's the crispy meat?
Yeah.
Yes, mom, it's something like that.
Yeah. Deep down in the chat says, the TV app also loses track of what's been watched. I've had that issue as well, yes.
Yeah, it does. Why do we always do the most inappropriate stuff just before the sponsor reads?
I don't know.
They like it that way.
Yeah, I think so.
Everyone's perked up. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by Telestream. Yes, we are very privileged. Thank you very much to Telestream for supporting us with a copy of Wirecast. I know I haven't used it yet, but that's not the point, okay? We've got Wirecast 9 set and ready to go. We've revamped some of the shots and that kind of stuff to take in stuff. The new Wirecast 9 will actually do the pan-tilt zoom cameras. And you can actually, if you've got a pan-tilt zoom camera that you've got set up, say, in your church or in your youth club or something like that where you use Wirecast, you can actually manipulate the camera using the Wirecast software, not having to go to a remote control if it's set up right. So that's really kind of an exciting feature. So that gives you massive ability as a director to start saying what goes on and takes place. If you'd like to get hold of a copy of it, then go to telestream.net and check it out. You can get a copy that's limited, well, not limited, but, you know, that's a trial version that you can have a play with. And the upgrades, I think, start about $400 and a new one costs about $900. But there's other stuff as well. ScreenFlow is a great piece of software. I use ScreenFlow all the time for capturing video. And it's absolutely superb. And that's from Telestream as well. So they've helped us. Please, please, please support them. Because you've seen the last few weeks, we have been stuck in my old office using YouTube Hangouts. Nowhere near the level of production value that we had when we had Telestream, just because ours had expired and didn't work with High Sierra. The fact that they've now come in and sponsored us, you know, we'll get those high production values back again. And I know that sounds like an anathema when you're talking about BTN and high production values, but trust me, it makes the difference. Thank you to them. And thanks to UK2 as well. As always, they support us. Please check them out. We're in ongoing discussions with them about the future, but it's looking pretty rosy for us and Telestream. And on Monday, I'm going out to discuss stuff with Hoya, and I will be getting my measurement done of my badly broken nose on the new upgraded software for Unico as well. So hopefully I should, by the end of Monday, have some glasses being printed ready for a demonstration of Unico and a review. And also I've got a review going up for Hoya this week of their driving glasses, the en route specs. They are phenomenal. I've really enjoyed having those this past year. They're not a summer glass particularly, although they do help, but you're going to want a pair of these for the winter. They are superb, absolutely brilliant. Right, time for the cool things. Start us off, Adam.
All right, at the risk of maybe stealing Ewan's. Well, one of our favorite developers, Zach Gage, who goes by @Helvetica on Twitter, has come out with a new game called Pocket Run Pool. And in case you don't know who Zach Gage is, he does flip-flop solitaire and really bad chess. Is it really bad chess or bad chess?
Bad chess is excellent. Love that.
Yep. So this one is a billiards game, and it's Pocket Run Pool, not Pocket Pool. because that's a whole different thing. Basically, it's a little twist on a billiards game, a pool game. And what it is you have multipliers on each one of the pockets in the game, and they're randomized. They sort of rotate, or they rotate around as you're sinking balls. And what you have to do is you have, I think, four chances to try to clear the table. So you get four cue balls, and you go around the table, and you're trying to get the most number of points in each round. And the way the points work is there's a, like a 10x pocket and a 2x and a 6x, and whatever number ball you sink into that pocket gets multiplied by that multiplier.
And they change every shot.
And they change every shot. And then also the 8 ball, you can sink anytime you want, and it randomizes the pockets. So it'll rotate them, I think, anywhere between 1 to 8. I don't know what the number is, 8 times. And so that's kind of the basic game, but then there's also some challenge games and some tournament games where you'll get, there's like one each week where everybody gets the same break layout, and then you try and see, you can rank yourself against other people through Game Center to see how you score up.
So that's kind of cool, because you can take on the tough shot to get the more points, but you run the risk of running out.
Running out of chances, yeah. So yeah. It is really fun. There's an instant tournament thing too. It's $4.99 US, whatever that translates into.
No, don't tell me we're frozen. Adam's frozen.
But you can pay $5 to get rid of the ads, which I did immediately because it's just a brilliant game. And he makes really great fun stuff, and it's nice and casual. You can play it out, play a couple rounds and put it away. There's no in-app purchase. There's none of that stuff. I heard there might be some in-app purchase, but it's not required for the game. Take that back. I think you can get,
there is in-app purchase, yeah.
Additional entries into some of the tournament stuff if you want to play that. But the basic game that I just described, there's no, you don't have to buy anything for it. You just play. So.
Cool. No, I've downloaded that already, mate. Thanks for filling in while I downloaded it. When picking good picks, it's good, important that you fill time so that I can download it.
Good morning motion game.
Oh, mate, I could see it dried on my ass before I finished that.
No, each game is pretty quick. It goes pretty quick. I would imagine a game takes about a minute or two.
It's the number of games I play that's the problem, mate. And my legs are numb and I can't get up. Brilliant pick, mate. Like that. Patrice, your cool thing.
Yeah, my cool thing is a charger today. It's one of those Anker products. I hope you can see Anker. It on the camera. I've put the link in the chat already. The cool thing about this one is it is both a USB-C charger for your MacBook as well as a standard charger, just USB charger for your other devices.
Does it do the rapid charge as well?
The what?
Does it do like the rapid charge? Because the USB-C rapid charge.
No, the USB, it probably does, but not for the MacBook. So the standard MacBook charger is, I just checked, 87 watts.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit more high powered. This one only delivers 30, but I've tried this. I found that this is plenty for what I'm doing. It's not charging as fast, but I mean, my Mac is, tethered to a desk for most part of the day usually.
It would, it definitely would rapid charge your iPad or iPhone.
Yeah, if you stick your iPad, as long as you've got the correct lead.
Yes, so for iPad and so on, that's not a problem. 30 watts is more than enough. Just for the MacBook, as I said, it doesn't deliver the same power as the brick that comes with it. But it's $50. It's not that expensive given that it's, really versatile. I'm going to travel with this. So I bought this specifically, one, to have it at my desk that I'm getting upstairs in my office. And two, also that I can travel with it because I can just take this with me. And all I need is another cord, basically, for Germany. And then I don't need any adapters or anything. And as I said, it charges my iPad and my MacBook just fine. So it's like... I only need one brick for everything instead of...
Because of the power delivery, Patrice, this wouldn't power it while you're using it, right?
It actually does. So I've been, while we were on air, I've basically charged it and used it. It just depends. I mean, if you're doing like heavy video editing or gaming, I'm pretty sure that would still drain the battery because, as I said, it only delivers 30 watts. So that's
right,
probably
versus
not
the 80, because you need 85, right?
Yes. Okay. So that's what I'm guessing. As I said, if you're really heavily using your machine, it probably wouldn't be good enough for that.
But for traveling and powering overnight or something like that, you should be fine.
Absolutely. Or for, let's say, as I said, just casual or just, I mean,
browsing or something.
Office use or whatever. As I said, I've used it. I mean, I've been streaming video all the entire time and didn't have any issues. It was actually, the battery was down to 20% when we started, and it actually went up to 50 almost.
Oh, cool.
So it was even charging while we were using it.
Yeah, that's one thing with the iPad Pro is the original charger was really poor because it would deplete as you were using it.
Yeah.
At a lesser rate, admittedly, but it would deplete. Whereas when you buy the proper charger that should have come with it, the 85 watt, and the more resilient USB-C cable to Lightning, the 2 meter, then it charges pretty rapidly, even though you're using.
Exactly.
Cool.
Sorry about that, mate. Good Absolutely pick. Brilliant. It'd be great with those if you could use them as hubs as well. That would be just super.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I can charge and I can hub and I can do USB-C as well as USB 3. Yeah. Right, now, do you remember the other week I did tell you that I purchased to trial it a 360-degree camera? So I bought the GoPro Fusion 360 camera, which is this thing here, and it is stunning. What it takes is just unbelievable. But the problem that you've got with it is that you've got to use the Fusion software to get the stuff out. And the Fusion software is great for just grabbing it and capturing it and making a film that you can then manipulate you can't manipulate it in Final Cut. QuickTime. You can manipulate it in QuickTime and spin it around and watch it and the stuff. But it's Final Cut's pretty poor as far as supporting this is concerned. So I was kind of like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to watch? So I've got two kind of big ups here and shout outs. First one is a YouTube channel, Life in 360. It's a young lad from Australia who does how-tos on Tiny Planet videos, how to do virtual tours using your 360 camera and that kind of stuff. But one of the cool things he does is he recommends software. I've put a link in the chat room. If you want to go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, navigate to the 1st of June on the calendar there, and you'll be able to see the two links or the links that everyone's put in there for this week. But you'll see the video that I made of a bit of a piece of railway line this weekend. I was doing a test with it. And the software that I used to edit that together so that it had keyframes in it so it would spin around and do what I wanted at the various times and actually manipulate the 3D environment in a recorded image was a program called Insta360. If you get Insta360 Studio from Insta360.com, then you can manipulate the stuff. And what gobsmacks me, these guys sell cameras as well. So you buy the cameras, that's fine. And you'd expect them to give you some software if you bought the cameras, but they don't. The software's free. And the software is compatible with every 360 camera that produces an output film.
Wow.
So all you have to do is get Fusion, dump out your thing in H.264, so it's actually not a massive size, and then you just import it into Insta360, go to the record button in the top right, and then you can start adding keyframes and swatching around your 360 into Tiny Planet, reverse Tiny Planet. There's tons of stuff you can do, and it is so powerful, and yet it's free. It's utterly free. And thanks to I can't remember his name now. I had it earlier on. I've forgotten it, but it's the lad that does Life in 3. And his tutorial videos, very easy to watch, very, very well done, and absolutely superb. So make sure you subscribe to him on YouTube as well, because he's a good lad.
Yeah. Really nice guy. I've seen a couple of really cool videos on YouTube done with that. There's this guy in somewhere in the UK, not too far from Ewan, actually, that he does daily vlogs. He's a, let's say, a Tesla fan. And I mean, he likes to skateboard with the Fusion 360 and then use that to basically move around himself, basically. So he can actually just record the 360 and then just moves where the interesting things are happening.
The Fusion is probably one of the best cameras out there at the moment. Yeah. So, yeah.
The editing software is free. They charge for it.
Yeah. Insta360.com. And then you just scroll down until you find the link. And you just down Insta360 Player and Insta360 Studio.
And they don't charge for that because they use it to support their cameras. Is that the deal?
Yes, but everyone can download it and everyone can use it. And it's
it works with third-party cameras.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't got After Effects or those kind of programs that actually do work with 360 files, then the thing is, it's got so few buttons on it that literally, I learned it by watching this guy's video on it, but I would have learned it myself in double the time just through the fact that it's got so few buttons. I'd have clicked until I worked out what it did quite
these
easily.
These cameras at Insta360 look pretty neat too. Like there's little iPhone ones and stuff like that.
Yeah. Ben Claremont, that's the chap. Ben Claremont, Life in 360 on YouTube. He's brilliant. He's really, really good. And the stuff that he does, the numbers of applications that he recommends. So if you want to do virtual tours, he's found you a piece of software that will do it free of charge. And he recommends another one as well, Theta Plus, which is on iOS. And if you take a picture with your GoPro, you can actually just send it to yourself in a text and then open it up with Theta Plus. Save it to the camera, I'll open it up with Theta Plus and you can scrim around it and show everything. So it's just brilliant. Life in 360 is the YouTube channel and you learn so much from just watching what he does. And just simple stuff. This is really kind of silly. You know, if you get a camera and you want to do a selfie, so the Fusion comes with a 360 camera, comes with a monopod rather, that you can use as a selfie stick. And like normally, if you were holding a camera out, you would sit and hold it, and then you'd tilt the camera so that it was pointing up right at you. You'd have that angle on it, yeah?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It pointed at you. And Ben just like, he's like, no, don't do that, because if you do that, you can see the stalk. Whereas if you do this, you can't see the stalk, and you can't, yeah, but it's not pointing at me. It's like, it's a 360 camera, you moron.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't have to point at you. And it's just simple stuff like that. It's like, I could have worked that out for myself eventually.
Yeah. thanks to Jordan Airwave, the guy I was talking about is called James Cook,
right?
Yeah, I forgot
he's good as well. Then two channels that you should definitely subscribe to, but thanks to Ben, I've really got into it now and I'm going to start using it more and more for work, and my videos are going to look awesome. And the other thing as well is I'm going to fix this underneath the wire cam that I've got. I'm going to send it down a line.
That's where cool. where do we find that example that you did again?
It's in the Slack room there, in the chat room. I've just posted it. Dropzone.og2 link.
Cool.
Above my cool thing link. Are you in the Slack room? Are you in the room?
Yeah, I'm in there. Yeah,
there you go.
I got it. Yeah, I see it. Thanks.
Just click on that and
I'm not going to do it right now because my whole machine will wind down.
it's quite a video. I'm really chuffed with that. How to spin and tilt and tiny. It's a bit more off. I've done a simple one that's good. The clients are going to love because it's just a basic pan of the whole site. And it's just the thing that's cool is it's kind of like, oh, the camera's going to pan around. And then when it keeps going and keeps going and goes around to the 360, they're kind of like, how have you done that? You know, what did you use? Is that remote control? Or you're like, no, it's just all the data's there to start with. And I just have to manipulate it afterwards. So
awesome.
Is that the camera switching off? No, it's switching on. Why is it switching itself on?
It wants to record you.
Ellis has the remote.
The other thing that's really cool as well with Fusion is you can do the GoPro take a picture thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was standing out on site and I just held the thing really close to me, pointed it up on the selfie stick, and I was just GoPro take a picture, and it took a picture of the whole site, and I'm not in it. Well, bits of me are in it because I'm fat, but if you get a hold of you, Adam.
You can, as always, find me over at maccast.com or just search for the MacCast on your favorite podcasting, listening, streaming, whatever app. You can also find me on the social media network, Twitter, at twitter.com/MacCast.
Excellent. Where are you, Patrice?
Well, I am every week here on the Mac Show. Next week, I am also in San Jose. So if you're there, then please hit me up. And yeah, everything I do on thepatrice.com.
On Tinder. Hit me up on Tinder.
Well, it depends.
yeah, he's open to up. Yay! So you're going to come to us live maybe next week.
It's like Lando Calrissian.
Yes. I don't know yet. So I don't know what the schedule is next week exactly. If I can, I will try to come and live from the hotel. Also, how good the Wi-Fi is.
Reporter. You can do a gamut from CES, although I think you'll lack the sex toys to do it properly.
Yes. I bet there will be no sex toys.
I'm pretty sure there won't be either.
Yeah.
my name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We're back again next week. We're back in the studio Thursday night and Friday for the shows as normal, and using the proper software that has been provided for us by Telestream. Thank you very much to them. Superb. Don't forget to check out the news show as well with Carl Swagger every day. He's doing a great job with that. He's plugging away manfully. See you next week, and don't forget your bash tickets. Thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye. Have a good weekend.